it's the BTN Summertime Special. Someone who's crazy left me in charge with these three lovely people. We just worked out what a bad gay Norwich accent is. You probably had to be here before to work out what that is. But I have got three lovely people with me here to talk the week in tech. And they are starting off with Gaz Maz, the man who makes me jealous every single year when it comes to the British Grand Prix. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fantastic, thank you. And just to make you even more jealous, I already have booked my tickets for next year's Grand Prix.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. Early bird tickets, and I'm on club. The open seating at club. So I'll even be able to see the presentation at the end. Get in there.
Yeah. Good man. Yeah, I was watching your Facebook post all week going, he's a lucky sod, isn't he? Was it good? It was a good race, wasn't it?
It was a very good race. It was a good weekend. I mean, as you know, that I generally get there quite early, so we have a lot of good fun. A lot of good fun. There's lots of concerts and all sorts of stuff going on. So yeah. Enjoy.
Can I ask you a question? Because it's a lot of people. I've never been to a Grand Prix, even though being a big fan. If you're sat in the stand, do you get a feel for how the race is actually going, or do you just see cars going round, round?
Well, it used to be like that, but now you've got so much coverage and you've got big screens in front of you. So, yeah, you can follow it pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah, and you camp out there, do you?
Yeah, there's a big Silverstone, the official Silverstone associated campsite. It's called Woodlands, and they have two or three massive, great big marquee come tents, and they have all sorts of stuff going on there, all sorts of music, comedians, and it's just a big festival, really, to be honest with you.
Fantastic. And next up, hold me back, please. Because it's the sex god himself. Ladies, get ready. A poll for Jeffrey Gamet.
You don't have to hold yourself back. I understand.
Well, there's no one here holding me back, so I'm all yours. So.
Well, it's a party now.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well. And did it just get hot in here?
It is, yeah. It's turning up the temperature a little bit, isn't it?
Boy, howdy.
And last but not least, you bitches better go beware, it's Kelly G!
It was, now I'm broken. Keep doing that and it's hilarious.
We broke you before the show. We've got plenty more time to get on with that, haven't we?
Yes, so this will be fun. Let's see what happens.
All right, my dear.
All right, my lovelies.
Eventually.
Exactly. So we've all brought a story to the show, I hope. But I just wondered, did anyone bring the Google story with them tonight?
I did not, because I assumed someone else would.
Same here. Exactly.
It was like my fallback to talk about if it didn't happen.
So I just thought I'd throw it out there. What do you think? Because I was kind of taken aback when it was a Monday that we heard about it.
Yeah, late Monday.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just like it was just kind of weird, wasn't it? You kind of expect it, because it was weird that a search engine company was doing so many things. But it's weird to think of Google kind of being this kind of small part of a larger company.
Well, yeah. Is it also a little bit to try and hide the name? Because Google's name at the moment is not actually going too well, is it? You know, people say Google and they all go, oh no, the devil company. So I wonder whether they've done that as a bit of a PR stunt as well, to try and change the name. And a nice friendly name, Alphabet. It's a nice friendly name, isn't it? So
you mean they've gone full Comcast, is what you're saying?
Well, except Google is still Google and it'll still be called Google.
I understand that, but
the other stuff is no longer contaminated.
Yeah, I think this is more about creating flexibility and creating obfuscation. Now, on the surface,
word.
Thank you. On the surface, you'd think that this is going to create new transparency, because you'll be able to follow what each of these companies is doing individually. But I think the reality is, this creates a way for Google and now the companies that are being spun out of it. Under the Alphabet umbrella, it gives them an easier way to not have to talk about things they don't want to talk about. And I think the other thing that they were doing with this was creating an environment where Larry and Sergey And Kelly, I know you were waiting to hear how I pronounce that. But anyhow.
Yeah.
It gives them a way where they can focus on the things that they're very passionate about. So whatever the next big thing is for them, that's what they can do now. And this should really, really scare other technology companies, because now here's two guys that have proven that they can take an idea and run with it and create something beyond what anyone could possibly imagine.
I'm going to take issue with you on that point. Only that, yes, they can create, but they are not maintainers. They are only creators.
Right.
So I think what this does is frees them up to continue to create so that they can leave other people in charge of the stuff they already built. And now they can go build the new thing because that's where they get their hit from. And now they can go get that fixed whenever they feel like it. And then move on to whatever the next deal is. Because they're basically saying
the exact same thing.
I know, but I wanted to jump in before you said the whole thing that I had to contribute to this conversation, which was that.
Thank you.
She didn't want to be left out.
Well, because Jeff and I already talked about this on the Daily Observations podcast over at Mac Observer. And that was my two bits, was it seems like this is something that it frees them up to continue to create ideas. And yes, they are people who can take something that is an idea and turn it into reality. And that's something not a lot of people can do. And I think, Jeff, you're absolutely right on that.
There's a tax dodge in there as well somewhere.
Of course there is.
Oh, always.
Sure.
So,
yeah, of course there is.
So are you saying Alphabet's the pimp and Google's the hoe? Is that what you're saying? They're pimping them out to do different things.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, clever. No, that's actually...
Alphabet is the king, but Google is the puppet master behind the throne.
The Grand Vizier.
So it's just a facade of the evil empire, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like what's his name at Star Wars? He was good, and he was bad. Sidious.
Yeah.
Darth Sidious? No, he was just bad. That's it. He was just bad.
He's bad to the bone.
Yeah.
No, you mean more?
Yeah. No, Google's more like Lando Calrissian. You know, wants to be good, but he's bad, and he just can't help it. And he tries to do the right thing, and ends up making a deal with Darth Vader, and the next thing you know,
what am I going to do?
Lost his Cloud City.
Yeah.
But he'll come back and save me at the end, won't he? That's what Lando did.
He's there to save you, but it'll actually be someone else.
Yeah, it'll be Nian Num who does all the work.
Yeah.
So we're not too bothered about Google then changing.
Well, I think in a way we sort of should be, because like we've talked about, you know, this is supposed to give them more transparency, and in reality that's totally not going to be the case. And it's going to turn into the kind of thing that we see with Amazon all the time, which is the mythical unit of sale. We're going to report Kindle sales. We're going to report that we sold a bar graph this quarter that's 2 inches taller than the one from last quarter. How many is that?
I got a feeling that the fact is that they're now going to put people in charge of certain areas, and they will then turn into businesses, and then you've got targets, and people then have targets, and they just look at those targets rather than being as open and trying to do all new magical stuff. So certain areas of the company, that sit under the umbrella company will fade away or just become another company that we're not interested in dealing with. Not that we're not interested in dealing with them, but it's just another business.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm curious, though, about Eric Schmidt, who's the grown-up these two guys brought in to help run things, because he appears nowhere in the Google post that talks about Alphabet and how this is all going to get split up. He makes zero appearances. And honestly, neither does Android, and I still haven't found anything definitive on what this is going to mean for Android. I know it's open and nobody touches it, but there are people at Google for whom Android is their entire 40-hour-a-week job or whatever. I don't know how much Google makes you actually show up, but whatever their day job is for Google, it is 100% Android. And what does this mean for those people? It's pretty clear for the other folks like Nest and Dropcam and for Google and the contact lens folks, like it's pretty clear what this means for them, but I don't know what it means for Android, which has been so super duper tied to Google for all this time, what that future looks like, because we haven't heard anything on that front.
Okay. Well, Eric Schmidt is in charge of Alphabet, so he's still
okay. So on we did hear. Okay.
It just he just wasn't mentioned in the letter, or excuse me, the blog post.
Yeah.
But he's still very much part of the picture.
And the guy whose name is going to escape me is now the CEO of Google. So his first name starts with an S.
Sundar Pichai.
Serge. Yeah.
He is chief espresso officer at Google.
You make that coffee good, girl.
That went longer for a story that none of us had.
Yes, I suspected no one would bring it because it's probably the obvious one. But probably if we didn't mention it, people.
No, I think it's interesting. Because I'm curious what this is going to mean for the future of those other companies, because it seems like it's going to just improve the circumstances for everybody, that they're each going to get their own leader with that person's own vision of leadership and direction where the direction the company should be going and all that kind of stuff. It seems like they'll just be a lot better managed. And, you know, when you look at the sort of haphazard way that they've been doing things already, it seems like once they're able to really buckle this down and get some focus on what it is and where it needs to go and how they're going to get there, I totally agree with Jeff on this one, that this should be terrifying to basically everybody else, because this is big stuff, and you know, none of the stuff that they're doing is little trivial things. And if they can really find a way to dial in on those contact lenses or really level up with Nest and with Dropcam in the home automation market and, you know, whatever they're going to do with Google, like, if they're going to be able to execute on any of that stuff, like, it should terrify everybody else who's trying to make a motion in that space, because these guys are like, do you know who we are? Like, we have Google behind us, you know? Yeah. Like, there's the resources there are staggering. So the fact that these guys are really going to get a chance to run with what they've got is impressive to me, and like, I'm sort of excited to see what they come up with, because even if it's not for me, like, I thought Google Glass was really interesting, it just wasn't something for me personally, but like, I'm really excited to see what comes out of there next.
Fantastic.
I've got a different view. Okay. I don't think they will be saying we've got Google behind us, because they'll say, well, Google are under Alphabet, so that
Alphabet, who I mean.
Yeah, but that name to a lot of people won't mean a great deal, and I think this gives those companies a little bit more independence to say, no, we're nothing to do with them. We're going down our track, which is this route, and so it opens them up to be able to do both routes. And those those parts of the company that want to hang on to the coattails of Alphabet, i.e. Google, will be able to. But it'll give the likes of Nest to say, look, we've bought a camera company. We're nothing to do with Google. We're not going to be looking into your lives. They can separate that now.
Yeah, well, Dropcam was going to be my example as far as what I'm trying to say is the resources that are available to them.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like we're automatically going to get the deal because do you know who we are, but more like with Dropcam, but everybody who bought like 1.0 of Dropcam, Google sent them a new one. They had the money to do that. A lot of companies wouldn't have that opportunity. And they were able to send a new $150 camera, or several in some people's cases, to everybody that had one, so that they could update the back end, because the cloud stuff wasn't going to work with the old cameras. So they basically just mailed everybody an upgrade, and everybody got a new camera out of the deal. So I think that these companies having access to those kind of resources and having clear leadership that has a definite vision about how they need to do what they're doing is going to be really impressive to watch, to everybody.
Fantastic. Well, we'll sleep safe in our beds tonight, knowing that we put that to rest. So, has anyone brought a story that will make us feel even safer? Gazmaz, what have you brought us, sir?
I've just thrown it into the news now.
I see.
Into the chat room. Some time ago, I did actually bring this story where, actually, I don't know if you remember it at all.
Yes.
Well, apparently, there is a company in the UK that does basically fancy dress for Star Wars.
Yes.
And they've been trading in the UK for 10 or 12 years, and they've
Right.
And they've got a load of the Star Wars UK names: StarWars.UK, Star-Wars.UK, Star-Wars.co.UK, etc., etc., etc. And they've owned those for, as I say, 10 or 12 years. Now, Disney sued them for the name and actually got, I think, I think, is it Nominet? Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
To say, actually, you can't own that. That is actually Disney's property because of the name Star Wars. Well, they are appealing against the ruling. And they're just not surrendering the name. They're actually kicking back and saying, actually, we've been running as a business with this name for over a decade. It's never been requested before. We want to keep the name. So I hope that this actually turns out and they kick back and actually are able to keep the name. So we shall see what goes on. I think this is going to be an ongoing story for me to keep bringing back, to be honest with you. But yes, they have they've appealed, and I think good on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they should.
I have conflicting perspectives on this.
First, I think you did last time as well.
Probably Star Wars is a property that's wholly owned by Disney, and Disney has the responsibility to protect their properties.
This is true.
So in that sense, I totally get why they would file the lawsuit, and I think that they were justified in doing so. However, because this company has been operating as it has for at least 10 years.
Yes.
And no one from LucasArts and then later from Disney stepped up and said, look, you can't be doing this. I think that that they waited too long. I think that the court should have said, look, yeah, no, that...
They
shouldn't have been using it, but
I agree. I totally agree, Jeff. I think the fact that they've been there for so long and they've been trading with goods which are obviously Star Wars related as well. It's not like they're taking the Mickey out of them. If they were having a go, I could understand. I think this could have been handled a lot better, and there could have been a lot of PR that Disney and the Star Wars name could have got out of this. Whereas at the moment, all they're getting is Mr. Big kicks Mr. Small, and Mr. Small this time is having a little go back. So, you know, the rebels, they are rebelling.
It is almost like the Star Wars universe, isn't it? The little guy kicking the big guy.
Well, trying to.
A bit.
What I like out of this is the fact that he's trying to fight his corner, which is, you know, it's a mini Star Wars, isn't it? Brilliant.
But the fact is, obviously, with the new film coming out at Christmas, there's a lot of money to be made, isn't there, off that name?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's what happened. I don't think they cared until it was going to actually make a difference.
Which, if you think about it, as Jeff said, Disney took over Star Wars. They've known for a little while. They could have dealt with this a lot sooner. But there you go.
The whole reason the other company is even interested, the whole reason that it got their attention in the first place, is because this is a significant site. It must get some amount of traffic. They aren't just shutting it down because it's like one guy who posts a picture of his action figures every day. Like, that's not what's happening here. Like, this is the real deal. And it's been there for a long time and is well established. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on in the first place to even be taken to court. What would have happened is Disney or Lucasfilm or somebody would have written them a check, and that would have been the end of it. And that's not what happened here. And it didn't happen here because of the business they had built behind this site.
Yep. So... there you go. We'll revisit this in episode 4.
A new host.
Do you reckon?
So, Gaz, did I have the same reaction this time as I did last time?
It was a little bit friendlier this time, actually.
Oh, okay, great. Well, you know, some days I have a soft heart.
Yes. I think it was that apple and peanut butter.
That had to be it.
So I hope that this goes the way of the little guy, but I expect that it will not.
No.
That's basically where I'm at. Like, I really wish that it would, but I don't see that happening. No, and that's a bummer. I wish that they could have come to some sort of agreement, like gone to them and said, like, could you put that you are not officially affiliated with LucasArts or Disney on any, you know, or Lucasfilm or whatever, and Disney, like, at any point? Like, if you just could put that in big letters on, like, a tag on the front of your site that people have to click on in order to get in, then we'll leave you alone. Like, if they could have done that, that would have been awesome. But no.
No, but surely they're selling official Star Wars stuff, you know, they're not selling knockoffs or anything like that.
No, I think it's basic. I think it's fancy dress stuff.
It's costume.
Costume. So, you know, that it's whether they are selling. I assume that they probably do sell official equipment as well, because it would be churlish of them not to. To be honest with you, but
right.
it's mainly fancy dress. But there you go.
But then in that respect, the biggest promotion for the new Star Wars movie this year has been at Comic-Con, which is people in cosplay. Doing things like that, which is where are they going to get their stuff from?
Not from Disney.
No, exactly.
All the Disney stores around us are closing down.
Yeah, so probably there are a lot of people who.
So where are you going to buy? And here's the thing: is that if what they're selling is costume, you couldn't buy that stuff officially anyway. I know a number of people who are in the 501st, which is the cosplay for Stormtroopers.
Yes, I know them well.
And none of those guys can go to LucasArts or Lucasfilm or Lucas anything and get a uniform. You have to go to somebody else. And now there are places you can get them. There are more of them now than there used to be. There are places online, like this place. And you don't have an opportunity otherwise. LucasArts they've sold, like, the mannequin version, but they've never sold, like, honest to God armor. So you've never been able to get that. So anybody that's doing a very good job of pressing out fiberglass Stormtrooper uniforms, like, they're basically printing money. They're not printing, you know, uniform breastplates and helmets. They're printing money because they're the only places you can get that are the air quote unofficial. Like, I don't know how close they have ever come to being licensed, but that's the only place that you can get any of that stuff. Like, you can't go to a Disney store and buy a gold bikini.
No. And if I could, I would.
Just reading the piece, actually, one thing which I didn't bring up, the guy who's actually they were talking to said that Lucasfilm had actually owned star-wars.co.uk for a time prior to 2003, but guess what? They chose not to renew it.
Well, there you go. It's a buyer. It's a buyer's market. Isn't it? It's a buyer's market. If it's available and they don't choose to renew it.
Apparently.
Especially if you basically bought it from them. Like, if they let it lapse, you know, that's on them. Because they've had how long to figure out that they didn't own it and get it back?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting undercurrent of evil from the story so far this evening.
Sorry.
Are you feeling a disturbance in the Force?
I'm quite literally feeling a disturbance in the Force. So, who's going to lighten up my life? Jeffrey.
I can.
Oh, Kelly can. Well,
all right.
you do that anyway, girl.
Oh, very sweet. Well, mine is just a fun thing. This was actually my main story because I didn't think we were going to end up talking about Google because it was going to be someone else's story. 18 years ago today was when every one of us first heard the phrase, Cartman gets an anal probe. The
really?
The first episode of South Park is old enough to buy cigarettes in the United States.
Is it seriously that old now?
Mm?
Oh, yeah, one cheesy poofs.
last night I had the strangest dream.
Oh my God, that's the most amazing Cartman. Wow. Okay, so
I like to think
if I ever do South Park cosplay.
And the Springer. Yes.
Cartman.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether I should admit this.
Admit it. You know you want to. I just did a Cartman impression on the internet. I think you can admit it, Gaz. You're in good company.
I've never seen a whole episode of South Park.
Really?
What kind of American are you?
Well, you had to have one flaw. Now I know what it is.
Now, that's a fair point, Jeff, actually. That's a fair point. What kind of American am I?
No. I do have to admit, I have dropped off in recent years.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think a lot of people have. It's sort of become The Simpsons. It's like just a thing that's kind of always on. You can just sort of check it out when you want to, and you can, you know, yeah.
But when you hear a specific episode is coming up, you have to tune in.
Oh, yeah. That's
you'll have to send me a list of the best ones so I can watch them and see if I can get them.
Well, the first one is fun because, particularly at a time, there was nothing like it on TV. Because it was unapologetically an adult show that featured children that were animated. Like, the whole thing was geared for kids until you get to the part where every one of them has the foulest mouth. Yeah. So, like, at the time, I mean, because we have tons of shows now. Like, you know, there's Archer and Bob's Burgers and BoJack Horseman and all these adult animated programs that all exist. And there wouldn't have been room for any of those on television, on Netflix, on Amazon, whatever, without South Park. Because South Park was the first one that was sort of unapologetically adult-directed animation. And so I think that there's a lot of stuff on TV now that owes a pretty big debt to South Park in that regard. When they really focus, they are devastatingly funny.
Oh, yes.
The thing that I really enjoy about South Park is the thing that makes many things near and dear to my heart, and that is that they are equal opportunity. They have no agenda. They are anti-dum-dum. They're not anti-left-wing, they're not anti-right-wing, they're not anti-Christian, they're not anti-Jewish, they're none of those things. They just think if there's something that really needs to be made fun of, they're going to do it, whether it's something they hold dear or not.
Intelligently.
Right,
they
do
a lot
of
research to make sure they get it right.
Exactly. So there's, there are a handful of episodes I would rattle off the top of my head that are ones that if you were going to dedicate half an hour to South Park, these are the ones to watch. But 18 years, like, it seems very odd until you stop and think about, like, almost everybody at some point now is or has watched an animated program that was not for kids. And, you know, like, Archer is the biggest example of that. But mostly to me because it makes me laugh the hardest. But what, Jeff?
I love that show. I mean, after watching Archer, every time I have a drink, I want to do this.
Phrasing. Each John Benjamin.
Is this a thing again?
And that's how you get ants. Okay.
I like it actually because I've just gone to southpark.cc.com, which I assume is the official, and it says, "Sorry, UK and Ireland, due to copyright and other legal restrictions, South Park content from this site cannot be viewed in your country. Click here for southparkstudios.co.uk."
I was just gonna say South Park Studios should be your next stop because that's the people that are behind it. Like, at first I thought, oh, like, this will be kind of a funny story, but then I really got to thinking about it, and, like, South Park made a huge difference in a lot of ways. And another way that they have made a difference is that now that they do everything as computer animation, they make an episode in 6 days. There's actually a documentary called 6 Days to Air about how an episode goes from a good idea to broadcast on Comedy Central in less than a week. And it's really amazing that they can do it. I'm really impressed because I'm sort of an animation nerd. I really like to dig into how that gets made and you know, what makes that stuff work. So it was really interesting to watch, but also just because a lot of shows don't have that tight a production schedule. You know, like something like Big Bang Theory, they plan that stuff out way, way ahead of time. They don't start over. You know, here it airs on Thursday nights, so they don't start on Friday morning, like after the show has aired. They don't sit down Friday morning and go, okay, what do we do next week? And that's what South Park does, like, every time.
Well,
so,
that can keep it very fresh as well, can't it?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean they have ideas, like,
and then
they'll
be on South Park a couple days later.
Yeah, and, you know, stuff like that is super timely. Like, they had, it used to air on Wednesday. I don't know if it still airs on Wednesday nights now. This is back before I had TiVo, when it actually mattered what time stuff showed up on TV. And they were on Wednesdays, and Election Day was Tuesday. And, you know, it was late Tuesday night before you found out who actually won. And so they ended up filming, they basically split the crew in half and filmed two endings for the election night, for the election episode, because they didn't know who was going to win. And so at one point they had to do... both endings, like what it was Obama and McCain. So they had to do one, what if it's Obama that wins, and then they had to do another one for what if McCain wins. And they had to shoot them both and know that one of those people, one of those groups, their stuff was just going to get tossed.
Right. So has anybody seen the other one?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I'm sure it exists, but not that I know of. It's been, just to me, it's been really interesting. Like, the more I thought about South Park, the more I thought about how many things can be traced directly back to that. And the first is timely scripted television. Like, when somebody makes a joke like that, like, you know, you see that stuff in, like, late-night comedians, and you see it, and, you know, like, The Daily Show is very good about that because they're every day. And, you know, but you never saw a lot of super topical stuff show up in other programs until South Park started doing it. And you never saw, like I said, adult-oriented programming, and you never saw, a lot of times what happens with a show is they don't beep the bad words, they just write so that the person doesn't say them. Mm-hmm. And so the character never drops an F-bomb. So there is no need to bleep any of that. And so the fact that they totally go for it and then they just beep them out, like, to me, that's really funny. So, of that stuff.
The fact that they have the bleeps in there adds to...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, bleeping a cartoon character. Brilliant.
And,
right.
And if you see episodes... Because you can watch episodes that are, they call them the uncensored episodes.
Yeah.
In some cases, they're not as funny when you actually hear the words that are bleeped.
Yeah.
It's funnier to hear the bleep.
And isn't that like in thrillers and horror movies? It's always more frightening when you don't see all the gory stuff.
Yep. That's why Jaws is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own mind up.
Exactly. So, that was my story. I thought cool. The more I thought about South Park, the more I feel something we should talk about.
I feel like I know South Park inside out, but I've never watched a full episode. So that's why I just found it interesting, and especially interesting you brought it up. So,
exactly. In fact, it's been around for 18 years. It's kind of just ingrained, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now I feel old.
Well, yeah, there is that. Because
some of the episodes that they show, people will watch and be like, oh, that's a funny episode. But they don't get the significance of what the episode is.
Yeah.
Occasionally they do episodes that are just for those of us that live in Colorado, because that's where they're from, mm-hmm. and that's where South Park is. And so they'll do an episode, like the Casa Bonita episode.
Oh, Casa Bonita. I hear it's the Disneyland of Mexican restaurants.
I mean, the Casa Bonita episode is so, so accurate. Just everything in the restaurant that... It's amazing just how spot on the whole thing is.
Now that's brilliant.
You know, and if you watch it as someone that's not from Colorado, you're like, oh, this is a really funny episode. But then if you're from Colorado, well, you probably have to go and change at some point during the show.
and I've just remembered...
I've been to places ridiculously over-themed like that, oddly enough. Right outside of Disneyland in Downtown Disney, the Rainforest Cafe is very much that sort of thing. And so to me, it was funny because I'd been to a place like that. I assumed they were just sort of making something like that up. But
oh, no. It's so very real.
Why didn't we go there? Anyway.
No. No, 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 no. Also, just to be clear, no.
No.
You sure?
So, yeah, South Park.
Think about it, no.
last chance.
No.
It's Jesus. He's come to kill you because you're Jewish, Kyle. That's one of my favorite moments on South Park. I don't know why. It's for some reason it's that and come on, Claus, I'll buy you an orange smoothie. Ooh. Like, I don't know why those little things make me laugh.
I can understand that being tickling you.
Yeah, for some reason, it's like it's the little sort of throwaway stuff like that shows up in South Park. That's always it makes me really laugh. So,
happy birthday, South Park!
Yeah. You're gonna be tickled for hours to come, aren't you?
So is South Park now going to university?
He's got a student loan and everything.
Well, I was gonna say that's kind of where they started.
If they do, they need to go to CU because that's where Matt and Trey went.
Yes.
Getcha.
And they have, like, insane guest stars and, you know, all kinds of, like, all of the ways that there has been influence, you know, from South Park. Like I said, there was animation. There's also, they talked about the re-released Star Wars movies when 4, 5, and 6 got rejiggered and nobody liked it. And then they talked about how Steven Spielberg had rejiggered E.T., and how nobody liked that. And then all the kids were sitting together, and they were like, wait a minute, if George Lucas thinks this is a good idea, and Steven Spielberg thinks this is a good idea, Raiders of the Lost Ark! And so they go on this crusade to save Raiders from these two idiots who think it's a good idea to go back and screw with things 30 years later. And you can tell that I'm a little passionate about this, because I just did this little thing with my neck. And so they did this episode, and everybody went, oh my god, this is the best thing. Please tell me this really happened, because we don't want them to touch Raiders. And they even say, at one point, there was an interview with them, and they talk about how it was like the nicest mean letter that they ever got. But the urban legend around this is that Raiders was next up, because both of them had decided that this was a good thing to do. And they ended up leaving Raiders alone because of the amount of Yahoo and Me Too and yes, this is right, that went on when they released that episode.
All right,
because there was a rumor it was going to happen.
Kelly, so enough. I'll watch an episode, all right? All right, enough already.
No, I have to add another one in. Okay, so Matt...
Is it the one where Robert Smith showed up?
Here we go.
No, it's not, but this one's awesome also. Okay, so Matt and Trey, many years ago, they made a movie, a live-action movie called Basketball.
Yes.
And it was painfully bad. So bad... that they did a South Park episode where the kids go to see it, and the kids are so appalled and think it's so bad that they go on this epic road trip quest to go and find Matt and Trey and demand the money back for their tickets.
They go find the two guys that created South Park and get their money back. That's so brilliant. Oh gosh, so funny.
Brilliant. And I know that lots and lots of stars have appeared in it and voiced in,
yes,
in it as well, including a lot of British stars as well, I believe.
So many people.
Cool.
Yeah, they've had loads of people on. It's fun, and the thing that I like about it is when they do make fun, when they do sort of tease about stuff like that, they're doing it in a kind way. Like, they're merciless when it comes to out and out stupidity.
Except for Chef.
Well, when it comes to out and out stupidity or something that has made them mad in some way, like they will go after it without mercy. But if it's something that they're just sort of, like, making fun of, like, you know, the fact that Neil Diamond is Jewish and he sings all these Christmas songs and they have a couple of jokes about that, like, they're never doing that stuff to be mean and tear that person down. So.
Yeah.
Cool. So far, that evil make me feel old. Jeffrey, please save my life.
All right, how about if I just give you a straight-up tech world
story? Okay, I'm going for that.
There you go. Okay, so this is the news about CurrentC.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is the competing mobile payment platform that has been concocted by Walmart and Best Buy and Target and several other big companies. And so they've been hoping that they can roll this thing out and crush the credit card companies and make people never want to use NFC for payments in stores and restaurants again. And guess what? They're probably not going to even be able to launch it this year. It's going to have to wait until next year. So CurrentC is getting farther and farther behind.
Is this the really terrible one that uses QR codes and all that sort of thing?
Yes.
Yes, the one that already got hacked, even though it's not a thing yet. Yes, them.
And can I just ask the question? I've already seen, in fact, I've seen my first Apple Pay logo on a head-up display in a shop that I went to in the UK. Mm-hmm. My very first one down in Penzance. But I'm not likely to see
it. The Pirates, they're from there.
Yeah, the Pirates, that's right. I'm not likely to see a CurrentC payment scheme in the UK, am I?
No.
It's going to be a US thing, at least to start, and probably, well,
Even get it off the ground here.
Yeah, this is basically a stillborn project.
US and Canada, is that right?
Yeah. Not even Canada, but yeah.
So funny enough, I actually made my first Apple Pay payment today.
And wasn't it awesome?
It was awesome for me. It was an absolute nightmare for the woman who I did it with.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know
those sorts of people had that sort of payment method.
Gazbaz, around here we have a Waitrose, and I popped to Waitrose this morning. Hey,
very posh.
Yes, and I know for the last day they've updated on the front where you see ways you can pay, and there's obviously Apple Pay. So I'm with NatWest, and they've been advertising, so I scanned my card and put all the bits in. I went in this morning and thought, I'm going to give it a go. And I was a little bit paranoid because I thought, I've got a case on my phone, so I took the case off in case that interfered. And she went, that'll be £6.93, please, sir. And I tapped my phone on the thing. And lo and behold, it literally, you put your thumb on, don't you? And it goes through, and she was literally like, what did you do?
Were you branded a witch?
She called the supervisor. Because they thought I brought some like technological gadget in to hack their systems.
You did bring a technological gadget in. You just wanted to use it to pay.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm paying with my phone. And the trouble is, I think they're rolling out, because obviously we've got contactless payment is all over the UK. I think in America you've got...
Google Wallet and what have you.
Yeah, but your chip and pin things have taken a while to take off, haven't they?
It's not even going to be chip and pin. It's going to be chip and sign. So
chip and sign.
There's no point in even using the chip. But
yeah.
That's a different opera.
But that's why I'm excited about Apple Pay.
Exactly. But it was just so weird because I thought, I'm going to do it. And you get the little thing comes up, and I've got my thumb on the thing ready to go because I've watched all the instructional videos and all that sort of thing. And I was just like, boom. And she's like, and when you do the till, pops open, doesn't it? And she's like, what did you do?
Oh, my God.
Computer normally tap their card or put the card in the machine. and she was like, you know, if she wasn't serving me, she'd be knitting because she's that old. And she's like, what did you do? And I think it's obviously rolling out because we've got all these contactless payment things like that. It's not being communicated to the staff that this is the thing.
Because
we've got Apple Pay in the UK here, but it's not being advertised on TV or anything like that to any effect, is it?
No.
Wow. That you can do it.
You know,
so Jeff, why is currency going to fail, do you think?
Currency is going to fail for several reasons. The first reason is because it was conceived not as a system to make it easier for consumers to work with retailers. It was conceived as a system that serves retailers' own interests. So that's a big problem right there. Then you have the fact that it's not nearly as convenient to use as NFC, because you have to load an app on your smartphone, then you have to get your QR code. Then for a transaction to happen, there's steps that the retailer has to take, and then you interact with that because now your QR code gets scanned, and so there's this back and forth thing that has to happen.
And it's actually more steps than just using a card, even if it's a debit card.
Is QR code still even a thing?
Well,
currency QR codes, seems to think so.
Yeah, QR codes are really useful for inventory management. So they're great behind the scenes. And in Japan, they totally get how to use QR codes on the public side really well. But other than that, no, QR codes aren't a thing. And so they're trying to do that. They've put you in a position where you have to download apps to your device instead of having it something that's just there. It's going to link directly to your bank account as opposed to running through your credit card. So now these retailers have direct access to your bank account. Plus they have all this data that they're collecting on you so that there's no anonymity in your transactions. So we have all those things. As if that's not enough, the system still hasn't rolled out. Retailers are leaving currency and adopting Apple Pay and all these other systems that are already available are out there. They're gaining momentum. I mean, you're talking about you're getting to use Apple Pay in the UK now. And currency still hasn't even been able to launch in the United States. And
in a pilot program. There's like not even a beta out in the public yet of currency.
Right. And And so they're not going to be able to launch this year. So now they're getting farther and farther behind everyone else. Then there's also the trust issue. Do you really want Walmart having direct access to your bank account?
No.
And my feeling is no.
No. So here's another couple of things to know about currency is that the consortium that put it all together, the three big names were Walmart, Best Buy, and Target that people would know. And last year, when the iPhone 6 was released and Apple Pay became a thing, what happened was a lot of people went out and got iPhone 6s, and then they went and tried to use them with Apple Pay because they'd seen it and it looked really nifty and they wanted to try. So most places that had contactless payment systems in place for Google Wallet and other sorts of things like that were able to use them. And so these places that were supposed to be exclusively with currency turned everything off altogether. So if this name sounds almost familiar, or MCX sounds like something familiar to you, you may know it because we heard about it last fall when all of these people who were members of this organization turned off all contactless payment altogether because it turned out Apple Pay would work, and they were not allowed to be doing that in the terms of their agreement with using currency. So now of those three big ones, Walmart, Target, and Best Buy, as of March, allowed it in the app and is rolling out in-store Apple Pay technology where you bump your phone or your watch against the thing and move on with your life. Target has announced it in-app. Target is also in the process of rolling out touch your phone or your watch to the thing in the store as a payment system with Apple Pay. And those were the that's two-thirds of the three
biggies
that we already know about. So they've also had a new CEO, and their data was breached. Even though there's nothing there, there were a number of people whose email addresses were compromised because they were people who signed up to find out more about the program when it did go live, even though it hasn't yet. So, like, they're troubled in the first place, and I'm not trying to put them down, but this was never an experience that was meant to be good for consumers. This was an experience that was meant to screw credit card companies out of credit card charges, because every time you swipe a card, the retailer has to pay a tiny bit of a fee to that credit card company. That's the point. So that's where Visa makes its cash, basically. So if I use a Visa instead of money or, in Paul's case, you know, livestock.
And the thing is, actually, in the UK, what you get is a lot of choice. You offer up a credit card, and a lot of the shops now, if it's below a certain value, they'll say there's a charge on that. Or even if it's not below a certain value, they'll say there's a charge on that.
Right.
If you've got a debit card, you can pay in exactly the same manner, but obviously there's no charge. And all they're trying to do, and
a lot of places have that here as well.
Yeah, and all the shops are trying to do is get your money as quickly as they can to get onto the next customer. And if this process is not assisting in that, then it is never going to get anywhere.
Right.
But there are too many though, because like Samsung had their event today and they were going on about their Samsung Pay. Got your Apple Pay, Samsung Pay.
That's cute.
Currency. Well, PayPal have got one.
Fine. And that's because Samsung Pay, they're just doing NFC. Android.
So it won't require
Pay.
Special
it's just
hardware.
NFC.
Okay.
Yeah. So those will be okay.
So that's
It'll
got
be
a chance.
Confusing to consumers because they won't realize these are the same underlying technologies.
Right.
And
with different names.
With different names. The big difference between these things here is what sort of security do you really have for your credit cards?
Right. That happened to Jeff. Like when Jeff first used Apple Pay. I remember, Jeff, you saying you went to Whole Foods or something, and the woman at the register said, gosh, I wish I could do that with my phone, but I have an Android. And it was like, well, actually, you can.
Yeah.
It just didn't get the kind of attention that Apple Pay got.
No. Yeah. Yeah, she had no idea the phone she'd been carrying in her pocket for a year supported contactless payments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there are, because like I say, the only reason I need to use Apple Pay in the shop today is because they'd put stickers on the checkouts, and Apple Pay was added. But then you're going to add Samsung Pay to that sticker, then you're going to add currency to that sticker, and it's going to be a lot of meter long. We support all of these.
Yeah, well, I think what will happen is they'll then become a standard logo which people will use.
Well, that's what we need, isn't it?
Like a little Wi-Fi logo or something, yeah.
Yeah, there's the little radio wave egg logo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a standard logo for that already.
Yeah.
At the moment, they're using it to sell their devices, aren't they? They're going, we have a standard. Mm-hmm. But it's actually the same standard that so-and-so over here has got. But we're gonna try and promote it because only Samsung has this and only Apple has this. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's the same thing.
Well, it's the same thing as far as the transaction goes, meaning the money changing hands. What's different is the way each company or phone maker is handling the security of your data. Okay. So that's a good selling point right there. I mean, Apple so far has a good track record with protecting our data, our credit card numbers, our thumbprints, all that stuff. That would really, really suck if someone is able to get a hold of it. On a side note, did you see HTC is trying to do damage control because the thumbprints they were storing on some of their phones?
Yes!
They were storing as a BMP, not encrypted. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you don't go nose in that, but it's... Because the fingerprint technology is a wonderful thing. I was at the phone up someone today, and I said, "You've got to put a 6-digit code into your phone." And they're like, "Oh, God, I've got it." I go, "No, but it's a 6 plus. Scan your thumbprint and all that sort of thing." But I know that's secure, and I trust Apple to make that secure. But how long is that the latest HTC that does the fingerprint, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the One Max.
Yeah. And how long has that been out before they've actually realized?
I don't know, but long enough that people have it, and now they should be very, very concerned.
We're in DEFCON Black Hat season, aren't we? This is where all this.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the fact that they're putting these sort of things out because these companies with their billions of dollars can't work it out, but these small guys are just going in. Mm-hmm. And they need to be hiring these guys, don't they?
A lot of them do go on to get jobs at places like this, They're still wearing a hat. It's just a slightly different color. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why they hire them is, sometimes you just need somebody that you can lock in a room with the new thing and go, come at me, bro, and see, and see what kind of holes they can poke and what kind of things that the testing brings out. Because you can only test as much stuff as you can think of. And someone else can think of way other things than, aside from the stuff that you've already tested. So I think there are a fair number of, I know, actually, of a fair number of people who have gone to DEF CON and, cracked something and been able to make their way in or found some sort of security flaw and ended up getting hired as a result of the stuff that they've done. So even Apple's done it. Apple hired the guy behind, Jeff, one of the jailbreakers.
Oh, right.
Sorek?
No, I don't think so. It's the guy that forgot to fill out his paperwork for renewing his contract, so he lost his job.
Yeah.
I can't remember which guy that was. But yeah, I mean, he was a big-time jailbreaker, and they hired him, and he was doing all the security stuff for them.
Yeah.
And he needed to do some sort of paperwork to keep his job.
Yeah.
And just never got around to it. And they're like, well, okay, then we have to let you go.
Why can't I think of his name?
I can't think of his name either. No. But, Apple's done that. And I'm sure there are other people they've hired that weren't as high profile. So we just don't know about them.
Right.
Okay. It's almost as bad as still using BMP files in this day and age.
No. They did this on purpose. Like, they hired him because he was somebody who had been finding ways around. He wasn't a security. He wasn't doing security stuff. He was just finding other ways to do things like pop-up notifications on your phone before that was ever a thing that you could do as part of iOS.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was that kind of stuff. So, he was able to find ways around things to do things that people thought needed to be done. And, in fact, I jailbroke my phone for a lot of years because being able to put apps in a folder was amazing. And being able to swipe from an edge and have control of stuff like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on and off. Like, I jailbroke until, iOS 6 because that stuff wasn't available to me. And then as soon as it was, I quit jailbreaking because that stuff was so convenient.
and there's no need to really anymore, is there? They keep picking up these things, don't they? Notification center, all those sort of things.
Yeah, all that stuff is awesome.
Well, there you go. I feel a little bit better now, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Sure thing.
So I brought stories. It's just a quick one. I just thought it was just a little bit of conversation.
Is it about Google?
It's not about Google, no.
Is it about Alphabet? Damn it.
No, it's about our very own Sherlock Holmes, Benedict Cumberbatch, having to fluff his performance of Hamlet this week. Did you hear about that?
He did what?
He fluffed his performance of Hamlet. And the reason that he gave is that people were recording him on their phones. So he came out at the end of the stage door at the end to meet the fans. And as he said, hashtag the shit out of this, that he finds that obviously people recording him in performance put him off his game. And it's just got me thinking, is everywhere you go now, people are just taking photographs or filming everything. And they're not actually living in the moment anymore. It's everywhere you go. They live everything through a viewfinder now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, don't even get me started about people who take pictures with iPads, because I will take you down.
I love you guys.
They're properly evil people. But I just wonder what you thought, because it is what people do, isn't it?
What did you say? I'm just filming you.
Hey!
Can you repeat that? Oh, my phone's the wrong way. Okay, there we go. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. Well, I just wondered, is it because the technology is so accessible, or are we just boasting over social media that we're having a better life than you?
Yep. Second. Yeah.
Tweeting that. What?
Yeah, it's Gaz at the British Grand Prix going, I'm having a much better time than you are.
Well, we had an incident here on Broadway where a person who was at the theater had a dead iPhone and walked up on the set and plugged his phone into a fake outlet.
I heard about that.
To charge his phone on the Ooh La La stage.
Which is insane.
Which was me censoring myself just there. But yes, I think that part of
that was the name of the show.
No, that was me going ooh la la instead of actually.
Yeah,
spelling.
Yeah, I got it.
So it's frustrating, first of all, because like I've noticed because I have been known to frequent places where people go and actually take a lot of pictures, places like Disneyland and Disney World. And I have noticed it so much at Disneyland. I mean, Disneyland has noticed it so much at Disneyland that you can't take a selfie stick into the park anymore.
You can't, can you? No.
Because it's a safety hazard. And people weren't smart enough to figure out that maybe you shouldn't use a selfie stick on a roller coaster. And then...
Holy crap.
My hand to God. This is what happened. So...
I mean, you had it strapped to your arm. You didn't think it'd fall off, did you, Kelly?
It wasn't me. I'm smart enough to not use the stick. If I really want the picture, I just hold out my arm and take the picture. And I actually have done that on a roller coaster at Disneyland, but I did it before the thing was actually moving. And so there's actually I have a photo of me, Adam Christensen, and Mr. Kelly all sitting on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad having a good time. But it was before the roller coaster actually started moving. So for people who don't know, if you ever hear about a stupid rule in America, it's because somebody did that and either got a payout from the place or the company, or ended up suing for one reason or another because somebody died. This is what happened. So when you read, I don't know if y'all have this over there, but if you read the instructions for an iron that you buy in the United States, one of the things in there is do not iron clothes on body. And it's there because someone lost a lawsuit. And if you see the thing about do not use the hair dryer in the bathtub, it is because someone lost a lawsuit and has to be part of the instructions now.
And do you know why they did that?
Dryer.
Yeah, do you know why they did that? Because their parents that should have been teaching them actually were out somewhere sending them a Facebook message.
Taking a picture of how cute the little kid was in the bathtub with the dryer. Anyway. Yeah.
I think, Paul, actually, to your point, it is actually a social need people want to do it because they feel, I think they've almost lost that art of communication, and this is how they're getting around it.
Yeah. Or maybe this is just a new form of communication.
Yeah, but that's stupid.
Well, I didn't say it wasn't.
Okay, because, like, here's the thing, is that, yes, I go to Disneyland, and yes, I take pictures while I'm there. But what I do is I end up standing wherever, like, I look around, and I find the shot I want, and then I take it, and then I put my phone back in my pocket. I don't walk around with my phone in my hand to take a bunch of pictures, and sometimes I will not be en route from place to place because I have a fast pass or I have a reservation to eat or whatever, and so there are times that I will just walk around and take pictures, but when I do it, I'm always trying to be mindful of not stopping dead in the middle of traffic so that people can crash into me. You know, I'm not the person with the stroller trying to navigate that and a mint julep and trying to take a selfie of me and the kid in the stroller, you know, stopping dead in the middle of the route to Adventureland. You know, yeah. So there's a lot of things that could make this a whole lot better if people would pay a little bit more attention. And I think for me, that is the most frustrating thing, is that it's not that people are taking pictures with their phones. It's not that people are taking video with their phones. It's that they're doing it at the expense of enjoying it, because I always have a really good time when I'm at Disneyland. And the reason for that is because my phone is not out between me and what I'm doing the entire time.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, you see at concerts and stuff, people are just sitting there with the phone out like that. And all they'll ever remember of the concert and the experience is what they saw through their phone.
Yeah, and all I remember of the experience is what I can see through their phone because it's in my way.
I totally agree with what you said. If you get your phone out, quick 10-second video even, quick photo, that's it, and then back down. I can understand that. But the people that just hold their phone up and their iPads up all the time, and you can see them looking because they're making sure the picture's right. And I think,
exactly.
Why?
They're completely, you know, separated from the experience. It's like, you might as well not be there. You might as well be watching it on TV or watching the video that some other idiots started to make.
Right, because what are you going to do with that video? Most of those people are not going to be the person who posts it to YouTube. Like, you know, it was a happy accident. For example, to use shooting video at a concert, it was completely random chance that somebody was shooting video when Dave Grohl, in the middle of a Foo Fighters concert, fell and broke his leg. So that person had a reason to post that video online, and people could point to it and be like, hey, look, this is, you know, we all heard Dave Grohl broke his leg in the middle of a concert. Here's it happening. You know, and that
cuts. How about Lenny
Kravitz? I was just going to say that cuts both ways. Like, sometimes it's also what happens when somebody's pant, the inseam in someone's pants gives out at a very inopportune moment. So yeah, go look up Lenny Kravitz if you don't know what I'm talking about. And everyone, I cannot be held responsible if you do.
Up.
It is, it is not safe for work. So if you are at work, don't look now. So there's, like, there's moments for that, but, like, what are you going to do with that video later? You know, like, I took a little bit of video at a concert. I took about 10 seconds, I think it was. I was at a Pet Shop Boys concert. I took 10 seconds of my favorite song. I had gotten my phone, my new 5S, earlier that day. And so I wanted to take a few pictures and shoot a little bit of video to see what it was like. But also, oh, my God, it was the Pet Shop Boys. They're one of my all-time favorite bands. They have never played Portland before, and I have that 10 seconds. And I go back to that occasionally and watch it and smile. But in real life, you aren't going to do anything with that video. No. You aren't going to do anything with those pictures. No. There's going to be one. You took 200 pictures at the Pet Shop Boys concert, and you're going to have, like, one that was worth, you're going to have maybe 10 that were worth anything, and of those 10, you're going to take the one and go put it on the book face, and that's going to be it. And you didn't need that, and, you know, and you didn't have a good time because you spent all that time trying to shoot all 200 of those pictures.
So, Paul, where can I find this Bernadette Crumple Patch mistake that you made?
Pardon?
I love you, Dad.
The Snobberfest Bumble Batch?
Yeah.
So that's the one?
That one. Where can I see this mistake? Oh, I don't agree that he should have done it or filmed it at all, but where is it? I want to see it.
What?
We're trying to find out about Benjamin Cumberbund. Can you tell us where we can see this online?
Well, him hashtagging the shit out of it. It's a really good little rant that he does. It's quite ironic because he actually uses people who are filming him on their phones to tell them not to film people on their phones.
Brilliant. That's the irony.
That's so meta.
Not, yeah.
Can you guys tell me who's the Daily Mail over there?
I am.
Is it like a gossip thing or is it like a legit newspaper or what?
It's a newspaper. Whether it's legit or not, I don't know.
No, it's not legit. It's a gossip.
It's a gossipy one.
It's gossip. It's gossip.
Okay, because I just went and fed Cumberbatch Hamlet into Google, and I'm going to read you verbatim the headline from the Daily Mail under In the News. Benedict Cumberbatch does autographs and selfies after Hamelt with fans.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's about right.
If I didn't do the job now, I'd love to do a job doing headlines. That's my dream job after what I do now, because some of them are amazing.
So to your point, I think we are in a new world, Paul, and we are just understanding what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to react with our friends with these. Yeah.
Absolutely right.
So, Paul, if you go check my Instagram feed, you are there
right now. Hashtag the shit out of this. Don't take pictures of me. This is my passport. Recognize this face.
Yeah.
Anyway, fantastic, everyone. Fantastic. So before we carry on, just love to say a couple of things about the people who support us. And obviously the most important is UK2. They support everything we do. They support all of our shows. They give us all the bandwidth that we need. And all we'd ask for you to do is support them because they support us. Just head on to the Support Us page on our website and you get some fantastic BTN discounts for domains, servers, and all those sort of things. I've got a load of UK2 services, and every time I get an issue, they sort me out pretty quick. And I don't mean that in a dirty way. And the other thing, Ewan bunged me an email earlier. I don't know if you remember earlier in the year, MacFun were giving away a copy of Focus 2 for free.
Well, they're still that well.
Yes, they're still doing it. So if you go to macfun.com/BTN, you can still get your copy of Focus 2
awesome.
For free. And just as a note to them, just because we like them, they sent us a press release because their new copy of Noiseless has just come out. It's a one-click noise reduction thing for your photographs. I'll put the notes in the show notes. They just released that as well. But on top of that, go and get your free copy of Focus. I think it's meant to run out 3 months ago, but don't tell anyone. Get over there to macfun.com/BTN and get your free copy of Focus. And we thank everyone for supporting us. Even though I've really done a really bad job at this. But anyway, we'll continue. It's time for the cool things. Gazmaz, what
have you okay. brought? Okay, I have a relatively modern car. However, it was on the cusp.
I have a relatively modern car.
However, it was on the cusp of having inbuilt Bluetooth. And I've always been a little bit wary of getting a Bluetooth device to actually fix up so I can use Bluetooth in the car, because I thought Bluetooth batteries, you know, you're always charging it up, it never works, or it, you know, it always runs out just when you need it most. Well, this little device here,
right? Yes,
you see that? It's from MPOW. MPOW.
MPOW.
Now, I've got a set of Bluetooth headphones from them, and I'm not quite so impressed as I am with this device. This device now has been in my car. As you can see, it's got a 3.5mm adapter, which is like double each end, so you can fit it into anything, which has got an aux port, of course. And basically, I charged it up when I got it. It's got a volume control on it as well, but basically, you know, it just sits in my aux port in my car. And I now have Bluetooth for any of the phones that I've got, or they've got Bluetooth. And it's been in the car for about 4 weeks.
Right.
Two of those weeks I was on holiday. But so far, no recharge on the battery. It's been absolutely fine. I do about a 35 to 40-minute commute twice a day to work and from work. And it's been working fine. So this is a great little piece of equipment. I've put a link into the to the UK Amazon store. It's currently £8.99.
That's amazing. So you can stream audio to it and all that sort of thing?
Yes, 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 absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what I do. So for that price, I thought, I think I actually paid a little bit more for it, to be honest with you. And it works a treat.
And it's on Prime, so it's free. We love that.
There you go.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, sir?
I have something that's probably going to cost you money.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Sorry. So this is shipping now. It's from Lego, and it's their special Big Bang Theory set.
Oh!
Jeffrey, you day boy.
Yeah, it is very, very cool.
I simultaneously love and hate that you are using this as your cool thing.
I figured you might be. So the kit has all of the main characters from the show as minifigs, and it's the living room set, and it has just a wonderful amount of detail. It's a beautiful, beautiful kit, and it's a little bit higher priced than mm-hmm. other kits, but it's not like the DC Comics stuff and some of the Star Wars stuff from Lego, where the licensing drives the price way up too high.
So that means Sheldon isn't wearing a Green Lantern shirt?
I can't remember if Sheldon's wearing Green Lantern or Flash.
It's Flash. Flash.
So I'm at the wrong location right now. So next week, I can actually show you the kit.
Okay.
So now everyone has something to look forward to for next week.
Jeff's gonna show you his kit.
That's not actually a bad price, to be honest with you. I bet it's double that price over here in the UK.
Oh God, easily, isn't it?
Yeah. The kit. The price is just a little over 10 cents a brick, which is my standard point for a reasonably priced Lego kit. And yeah. some of the kits you can get where they're like 8 cents a kit.
A brick.
But this one's just a little over 10 cents a kit. So not it's a little bit higher price than it could be, but it's still a reasonable price, especially for what you're getting.
We're getting screwed. It's $49.99 over here, Gaz. We are being screwed again.
Yeah, well, you know, are we surprised?
It's the big con theory, isn't it?
It's the big con theory.
Man, it's those Danish people, isn't it?
It is, actually. It is.
Yeah, they're closest to us than they are to you. Well, are they screwing us?
Yeah. Yeah, Lego's not a U.S. company.
No, damn them.
It's just because Norwegia doesn't like the British Empire, that's all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Danish,
Norwegia has been like that for a long time.
Well, we had all those Saxons coming over and raping and pillaging.
Yeah, and then you made them cut it out, and now they're mad at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted a party.
I'll tell you where they ended up. Pretty much where Paul lives.
So that's where the parties are.
So, yeah.
Yeah, wait for the after show. It's pretty blue. Thank you, Jeff. Do you have a cool thing for me, Tom? Hello, Kelly?
Oh, there we are. Okay, everything froze for a second, and I wasn't sure if it was my
end. That's all right. That's all right.
So,
fixed by my gaze.
So, I have in my nifty little R2-D2 candy tin.
Oh, nice.
USB drives. And I'm going to pick one out because this is one that I think is really awesome. And I'm going to show it to you. Because not everybody has the brand new MacBook from Apple that only has one port that is USB-C. Mm-hmm. For most other people, you have a USB 3.0 port on something of yours. So if you do, you can get this drive from SanDisk. And the reason it's interesting is for two reasons. Number one, it's got this little Dealy, so it does the little geek shiv kind mm-hmm. of thing where you slide, so there's no cap to lose. And you'll notice that it's got the blue tongue inside, so it's USB 3.0. That somehow became the universal symbol for USB 3.
It is.
And here's the other thing to know about this, and in case my focus on my camera is terrible and you can't tell, that says 128 gigabytes.
Holy moly.
And here's the thing. This was on special up at Best Buy, which is not too far from my house, I picked up this baby for $29.99.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was a one-day deal. If you watch, you can get good deals on things like this. And since a lot of people have invested in making things that are USB 3.0, because 3.0 has been around for a while, there's still not a lot of uptake on USB-C. And so if you watch, you can probably get a good deal on something like this, and it's super handy. And, you know, if I know earlier this week on Daily Observations, we talked, Jeff and I talked with Bob Lovitis about backups. So with 128 gigabyte, that's most people's photo library. Like, if all they're doing is taking pictures with their phone, this could be a whole lot of your photo library. This could be a whole lot of your iTunes library. This could be your documents folder, or, you know, a not insignificant hunk of your hard drive could fit on here. And, you know, you plug it in, you sync it up once a month, and then you go pitch it in a safe, or you take it to someone else's house and drop it off so that now you've got this off-site backup, and it's only this big, and you're not, like, putting someone out to put an entire hard drive somewhere in their house for, you know, an indefinite period of time in order to be the stash for your backup or whatever. So on top of the fact that at 128 gigabytes, like, you can carry around a whole lot of stuff on one of these. So, oh, yeah. You know.
Well, so I've just done a quick search for that product over here. I can't find the 128, but I can find a 64 gig at £80.
Jeez.
Yeah, this is normally, I want to say this is like $100 in the US.
Yeah, guys, we are getting screwed over here.
So, and the other thing about this one that was really, that was actually the thing that put me over, is that it's SanDisk, which is a known quantity when it comes to flash storage. So, like, I have loads of drives from them already. I have, I think, something like half of the SD cards that go in my cameras are from SanDisk. They go all the way back to the MP3 player I had before my iPod, and I had a 128 megabyte SD card in that. You know, 2 hours of music. What all could I put on there? It was amazing. It's a name brand, and it's something that you can do, and but they're available, and it's a thing that you can buy, and to me, that's what made it very, very cool, was the backup possibility. So there you go.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Well, my thing, it won't cost you any money at the moment. It used to cost you money, but
I'm going to jump in. You've got me looking now, actually.
bargain hunter.
Yeah, and actually on Amazon, there is a SanDisk 256 gigabyte Ultra USB 3 flash drive, which looks very similar to that one. In fact, it looks identical. £75.
Nice.
256 gigabyte.
Hey.
That's cool.
Bargain of the week.
Thanks, Kelly. You've definitely cost me money.
Well, and in a way, I may have cost you money previously because I have that same Bluetooth majigger in my car. Which is also on the verge of having Bluetooth connectivity. I don't go anywhere near as many places as often as you do, and I barely ever have to charge mine. So, yeah, it's been amazing, and I really like that I don't have to plug in any cables, and I can get music and all my alerts and stuff over the speaker. It's amazing. Cool. So, yeah.
There we go. Day of the week. We love it. Yeah, like I say, my thing normally costs money, but it's free at the moment. One of my favorite games on my Xbox and iOS is Goat Simulator. You've probably heard of it. Now I say that, it sounds really weird.
Did you say Goat Simulator?
Goat Simulator, yes.
I want a simulator. Love Goat Simulator. I mean, like, see, seriously,
Jeff
love Goat
Jeff
Simulator.
Be loving him some Goat Simulator. See,
I've got to search Goat Simulator now.
It's totally legit program.
Be careful.
Yeah, it's not. It's as good. It's actually as good as Farming Simulator, which is number 6 in the iOS store in the UK at the moment.
Goat Simulator.
Which is not the same as Animal Husbandry Simulator.
Can I ask, is it from Coffee Stain Studios?
That's the one, yeah.
In the App Store at the moment in the UK, it's $3.99.
But I'm about to make it free for you.
Oh, you're a man.
Yes. So I'll put it in the chat room. I'll put it in the chat room. IGN have put it in as their game of the month. And up until the 6th of September, if you go to the page, I'll put in the chat room, and I'll put it in the show notes. They'll give you a redeem code for the iTunes store, put that code in, they will give you a free copy of Goat Simulator. And you get to be a goat. What could be better than that?
I've always wanted to be a goat. Hang on a minute.
See, so an evil, evil, feel old, get screwed, can't pay for things, but now you can be a goat. And that is the that is the BTN seal of approval.
I'm trying to get it before the end of the show.
Yeah, be getting you some Goat Simulator, Mr. Maz. So now we're all animaled up. Is that a word? I don't know.
It is now.
All I need to know, well, I already know, but we'll tell the people at home. Where can we get a hold of you? Gaz, are you free while you search for goats?
Well, I'm trying to scan it. I'm trying to redeem this promotional code.
No, you got to put the bugger in.
Yeah, I know. I realise that now.
You've got to work for it.
Come that. On.
You can get me over at gazmaz.com or on the Twitters, twitter.com/gazmaz. I do a weekly podcast with Guy Searle over at mymac.com. It's a MyMac podcast. We're at 500 and almost 90 shows now. And wow. Yeah, it's the G-Men. That's not us personally. I must admit it was a show originally by Tim Robertson. We call ourselves the G-Men. We could have the GJ Men if anybody like Jeff wants to appear on the show, which I'm sure he will one day. And
sure, I'm happy to be on.
Good man.
And after today, the G will stand for goat.
I see.
Yes, it will.
So because it's men, that's why you've never invited me on the show. That's what I'm hearing.
Probably. Hey, Kez, you'll be on one day.
Okay. I know you'll make
Jeffrey.
All right, well, you can find me over at macobserver.com, where girls are welcome.
Night and day.
And you can find me on a bunch of podcasts like the Mac Observer's Daily Observations, an Apple Context Machine, and there's the iOS show. There's this one show that I still can't figure out what it's about. It's called The Big Show. And I do a bunch of shows, so I'm easy to find. And I'm on Twitter, Jay Gamut.
Fantastic. And Kelly, my darling, where can we find you?
Well, I'm the girl they welcome over at the Mac Observer, so you can find me there. You can also find me hosting the After Show with Mike Rose. You can at aftershowpodcast.com. You can occasionally find me on Daily Observations with Jeff Gamut, and sometimes I do weird stuff on the British Tech Network. For some reason, they like invite me on, and I get to shoot my mouth off and make people laugh. So sometimes you can find me there occasionally too. And I'm on Twitter as Verso.
And I nearly got my goat.
You got my goat.
Can I say, Kelly, you really ought to see if you can get Kez.
Okay.
I think we have a show title. You can find me at Pawns on Twitter and mediating this hell of a ride. I don't know if I'm here next week. I forgot to ask the governor. But anyway, thank you all for listening. And I'll see you sometime. Goodbye.